92.3 KTAR. Hey, it's Jim West here on the Rosie on the House show. Thanks for inviting me over this morning. We're playing some Duane Eddy right now. This is Rebel Rouser that was recorded in Phoenix, Arizona in 1958 at Audio Recorders. It hit number one and was a million seller all over the land.
City of Phoenix, touching just barely a half a million back there in the late 50s. It was a nice little town in the desert.
Oh, yeah. And let me tell you a story about this Duane Eddy song here, Rebel Rouser.
And he's still performing.
He is still performing. The man is living in Nashville, Tennessee today, and he still performs all over the country occasionally. At one time in the early 60s, he was bigger than Elvis in Britain, overseas, at one point. I mean, he's still recording and doing his thing. Yeah, definitely.
That's incredible. Now, when an artist has an album, a song, that sells a million, what is that worth? What is that to him?
Oh, my goodness.
Do you have any idea?
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, is it a buck a copy? Does he make a buck a piece?
Now, that all depends on that. But as far as selling a million records, that's an indication it would be to me that I've arrived.
Oh, absolutely.
As a recording artist and a singer or a performer or whatever. But, I don't know how that plays out mechanically as far as the residuals go. But I would not be surprised that he's still collecting a lot of money from from record sales. Overall, he told me, when I interviewed Duane Eddy for my book, he told me that he has sold over 100 million records worldwide.
Wow.
Since the late 50s, definitely.
And he's an Arizona boy.
He's an Arizona boy, grew up in Coolidge. Yeah, definitely. His dad worked for the Safeway store back in the day, and he went to Coolidge High School and became a superstar. He's in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame today.
Wow.
Interesting story behind that song, Rebel Rouser, is that back in the 50s, obviously, we did not have the technology we do today with our computers, where you can punch in an echo, where you can punch in an echo effect.
It was hard back then. Yeah, the reels and the tapes and the slicing machines and all the tape on the floor.
So Lee Hazelwood had been at a studio in Los Angeles, and they had this big echo chamber where they could run tape through to get an echo effect behind songs. So he decided that Ramsey's Audio Recorders here in Phoenix needed the same thing. So they went down to the Salt River one day to some big water tank dealer, and found a big old water tank, trucked it to the studio. It's a primitive thing. And then they ran a microphone and a speaker through one end and a microphone through the other. And that's how they got that twangy reverb echo effect.
Well, how did Steven Spielberg get the laser sound in Star Wars?
He punched in a computer chip, probably.
Well, when the Star Wars started, he took a baseball bat to the steel cables that held the power poles up.
Oh, wow.
And he would bang on that. Poing!
Oh, there you go. That's how they got that. Okay.
I would say they had to be a lot more creative back then.
Oh, yeah, they did. Yeah. Yeah, and back in the studio back then, it was a one take thing. If any musician screwed up during the recording process, they'd do it all over again. You know, where today you can punch in certain songs or instruments and voices on the computer and different tracks. I mean, they had like three tracks to work with, two or three tracks on a tape machine back in the day, compared to the digital we have today.
Mike, why don't you bring? We actually have a caller call again. Her name is Sherry, and her aunt was the receptionist at Ramsey Studio.
Wow.
Morning, Sherry.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. Did you grow up visiting your aunt and seeing some of these recording artists?
I didn't get to see them, but she saw all of them. She even met Elvis.
Wow.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Well, that.
Yeah, she worked there until the day she retired. She was best friends with the Ramseys, and you put the biggest smile on my face this morning listening to you as I'm heading up north.
Very good. Well, Sherry, we appreciate you listening to Rosie on the House. It's not Home Improvement this hour, but we are having fun talking about the book, The Phoenix Sound. We have the author in, Mr. Jim West. It's a history of the twang and rockabilly music in Arizona. We appreciate the phone call. Yeah, I guess the receptionist at Ramsey's would have probably seen a whole long line of celebrities.
Oh, yeah, you bet.
I wonder if she was sworn to secrecy.
Yeah, I don't know.
Couldn't tell everybody they were in town.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point. Exactly. And a lot of these folks recorded, like, in the middle of the night, too. They would, because things were calmer in the middle of the night and less hectic. And so they'd go in and record from, like, midnight to 5 a.m., you know, and do things overnight recording.
Wow.
Yeah.
So we've got Sanford Clark the Fool.
Right.
We've got Rebel Rouser, Dwayne Eddy, still performing in the Nashville area. And Skip and Flip.
Oh, let me tell you about Skip and Flip.
What
these
is
guys
Skip
charted.
And Flip?
These guys charted with a
this.
Couple of songs, and they were actually college students, friends in Tucson at the University of Arizona. And in the late 50s, they got together and started recording. One of them's real name was Gary Paxton. The other gentleman's name was Skip Batten. Skip Batten went on to work in the 60s. He joined the rock and roll group The Birds. If you remember The Birds,
sure, yeah.
But the other gentleman, he became a producer and recorded a variety of rock and roll records in the 60s. He was responsible for producing the Monster Mash and other novelty songs. Gary Paxton was, but they recorded the song at Audio Recorders. It's kind of a little pop ditty called It Was I.
You got that, Mike?
Here we go. Skip and Flip.
It's so innocent.
And our folks thought it was so wild. It's all relative, I guess.
It was I.
Skip and Flip.
Yeah, they also had a song called Cherry Pie that came out. And so they had a little bit of success there, and that charted on the national Billboard charts, recorded right here in Phoenix.
Well, we're talking about the book, The Phoenix Sound, by Mr. Jim West here in studio. It's a history of twang and rockabilly music in Arizona. How would people get a hold of a copy?
Well, thanks for asking about that, Rosie. I'm on Amazon.com, so okay. If anybody wants to do that, they can do that. And also BarnesandNoble.com.
Fantastic. It's The Phoenix Sound by Jim West. We'll be back with Jim and more on the history of sound in the Phoenix area.